Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
From the troop, we are fortunate to have with us this evening at 720 WGN two members, Taylor Edwards and Nia Toe. Good.
Hi.
Hello. You guys? Hello. So let's get down to it. When did you first find yourself interested in ballet?
Nia, you want to go first? Oh, sure. So my first real introduction to ballet was actually because I was participating in a musical at my local elementary school, and I really enjoyed it, and I wanted to get better at the dancing part of it. So I researched, well, my mom, of course, researched dance schools in the area, and I went down to Mr. Homer's dance studio downtown Chicago, and I just loved what I saw. I loved all of the brown dancers. I loved how amazing they were. So that was really my first real introduction to ballet, and from there I just fell in love and I took every class that I could.
Did you realize how hard it was going to be? I asked that because I had a brother-in-law that danced with the Joffrey Ballet in Chicago, and I couldn't believe what ballet dancers go through in preparation and the continual 24/7 monitoring of intake of calories and fluids and everything else. Did you have any idea what you were getting into?
I definitely did not have any idea what I was getting into. I just thought that it was going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to get really good, really fast. And none of those things were true at all. But I just really enjoyed the consistent getting better. Because the thing about dance is, as long as you practice and you just come with an open mind, you will get better. You won't be a star in a day. But I was not prepared at all for the whole world that dance is.
It's really something when you, we see ballet somewhat from a distance, but I was fortunate due to this relationship to be pretty close to the Joffrey rehearsal spaces. And I was just, I'm like, wow, I could never, ever do that. But, you know, I was thinking back when, and I don't know if it's true, this may be an incorrect PC statement in a new world, but I'm going to say it anyway because it happened with my daughters. When they were little, you know, like 3 or 4, they had this ballerina phase. Let's put it a ballerina phase. Like they wanted to get some sort of little frilly thing for around the waist and
a tutu.
And a leotard and, you know, pretend that they were dancing as a ballerina. Did you do that when you were that little?
Honestly, my mom has a video of me, like, when I had to be maybe like 4, and like all you see is just me rise in front of the TV, and I had on a tutu, and I was just like, I want to do my ballet dance. So I guess that is a thing. I didn't know it was a thing, but I definitely did it. So.
Well, you know, maybe your mom and I ought to get together someday because I got some videos too. I'm telling you. My two girls all dressed up and doing little pirouettes or turns or whatever.
Yeah, that was right, pirouettes. You were right.
See, I'm telling you. I got the ballet. The ballet's in my blood. So there's a lot of training that has to go on. Who was just talking? I'm sorry, I lost track of who's who here.
That was just me, Taylor. That was Taylor talking about me.
All right. So, Nia, when did you get, quote-unquote, serious about this? Because there is a point where it stops being just a fun, recreational, happy thing to do and becomes work, for lack of a better term. When did you make that jump?
Yes, that is a definite, that definitely happens in like a much earlier than the average career. But I personally started dancing a little bit late. I was about 13 because it was more of just like happens chance. So I pretty much decided that I wanted to be a dancer by about 15. And I started to take it really seriously, started to go to Pilates all the time, to dance, different dance classes. My mom was amazing, and she paid for me to get private so that I could close the gap in knowledge that I had been missing for all of those years. So, yeah, about 15 is when I really took it seriously.
How do you say the name of your group again?
Hip
Play Ballerinas.
Yeah.
Okay. When was that formed?
So Hiplay, this is Mia, Hiplay was formed originally under a different name, which we called the Rap Ballet. This was in the 90s when Homer was just starting his dance studio in Chicago. And he was trying to connect ballet to a younger audience. And the thing that was really popular in media at the time was rap. So he fused rap, and he had flashcards and a song to really try to get the younger generation engaged with ballet. So that was the beginning, and then it evolved over time with different students into Hiplay in about 2009.
I want to get into the whole process of how you auditioned for America's Got Talent and what that had to be like, and you know, getting up on that stage in front of that panel with Simon and all the thousands of people in the studio, and then having to actually perform. But I think we should take a little break so we can get into all that. So we'll be right back. So stay on your toes at 720 WGN. That's a song called Pretty Ballerina, and Taylor and Nia, that is from so long ago that it has mold on it. I mean, that song is from like, I forget exactly where in the 60s, but it's by a band called the Left Bank. So since you guys are ballet, I thought I'd put on ballet. And you got me when we were talking about you being little and putting on the tutus, and my kids being little and putting on the tutus, and your mom filming you, and I filmed my kids. There was this movie out, I think it was in the 80s, called Turning Point.
And
they were obsessed with it.
Yeah, Turning Point is such a good movie.
Wow, the similarities are blowing me away. I bought him a Turning Point poster for Christmas. I had to. That's all they wanted.
Wow.
That's all they wanted to talk about was Turning Point. Oh, this is great. You know, I think you guys are going to do real well. I know that I'm not predicting anything, and I don't want you to say anything about the future. The future does not exist right now. Does not exist right now. But how do you get on America's Got Talent? I mean, they do the auditions for American Idol. They do them live, not live, but they have the audition section of their reality show when you see people come in and audition. But I don't think America's Got Talent does that, do they?
So actually what you saw on TV, if you saw it when it aired, that actually was the live audition.
Whoa.
So that was us auditioning live for the judges.
Oh my gosh. No pressure.
right, no pressure at all.
No, but how did you get there? I mean, how do you get that far? From being here into Chicago to here I am. Oh, look, Simon Cowell's much smaller than he appears on TV. You know, how do you make that transition?
Yeah, so AGT actually has different scouts or like people who scout out talent. Or you can submit to audition, and then they go through those submissions and they choose you. So either way, you can get on there. I believe that some of the scouts have been trying to get Hipway on AGT for years, but it never worked out in our favor because we were always busy doing something at the time. So this time we actually had the opportunity to go, and we were like, yeah, of course, we'll go.
What is the up until how much of a time commitment are we talking about before the first episode airs? I mean, how long are you out there getting ready?
I'd say we were out there for about a week, 5 days to a week. We actually did a lot of our rehearsals and stuff in Chicago.
Right.
And then we went out there for about 5 days or so to film.
And how long did it take for one episode to be filmed?
Oh, well, yeah. I can definitely say, Ania, you can back me up with this. It was probably like a 12, 13-hour day.
Yeah, I know
so
it is.
Oh, definitely.
We filmed probably for like 2 days, just like that.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I know how that works a little bit. That what we see in an hour or 90 minutes or 2 hours and as a variety of acts took 12, 14, 15 hours to get it done. I went to a Motown, what was it, Motown 50th anniversary concert a few years ago in Los Angeles, and they were filming that for, I think, HBO or something. And they stop and start and stop and start and stop and start. It got so late, I got to see Smokey Robinson. I saw Diana Ross. That was pretty cool. Saw John Legend. I'm going to go home now because it was just too much. I mean, that's the whole thing about it. You realize you're getting a lot of things that I noticed when I first went out there. My daughter is in the quote-unquote is in show business. So's my son-in-law. And you realize that what you see is the result of so much work by so many different people. I mean, first of all, of course, there's like you guys, like the dancers, but then you've got directors and lighting people and producers, and it takes a lot of work to make it look really easy. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with
that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So describe, if you will, do you have a name for the type of dance that you do?
Hip-lay is called Hip-lay because
Lay.
It's a mixture.
Oh, got it. Hello. Yeah, you know what? Somebody in this interview is a little slow, and it's not you two. Yes.
Hip-lay,
John. Get it? Hip-lay. Duh. So do you usually start out with, the clip I saw from America's Got Talent, it starts out with, I think it was like Swan Lake or something, some really stereotypical, go-to ballet piece that they always play, and then bang, something else happens. Is that, and you get into a more contemporary sound, yet you as ballet people are still combining the ballet movements with the movements for this piece that's just been introduced. And I sat there and looked at that, and I'm like, they are on their toes. I was like, holy man. I mean, it's one thing to be up on your toes and do ballet, I'm guessing, but it would be a whole other thing to be able to perform, for lack of a better term, a more modern type of dance on your toes.
Yeah, actually, it is. Like, the thing about Hip-lay is that we're fusing hip-hop and ballet. So,
right.
Normally, and so we all train classically first, and we have to have a certain amount of strength classically before we can ever try Hip-lay. But the gag to Hip-lay is that ballet is very lifted, whereas hip-hop is very grounded. So right. You kind of have to find the mixture and the balance between the two. One of the dancers earlier said it best, like, half of your body is doing one thing while the other half is doing another thing. And it's like you have to be able to still embody that style, both styles at one time. And
exactly.
That's what makes it so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's probably part of what impressed Simon Cowell, because his statement, like, at the beginning, well, you know, I don't know about ballet. I think it's boring. I can't last more than 5 minutes. That must have been fun. That must have been an upper to hear right before you're going to start, huh?
Oh, it was like fuel to the fire. That's why I responded, and I was like,
"That's what you
got
to do."
Unless you have the right dancers, though.
Yeah, that was a great comeback. I loved it. So, the choreography. So, like, I believe that, you know, iconic types of ballets, like, let's say the Nutcracker. The dance moves are already there because it's part of the ballet, and people will come to see the ballet and know that there's going to be certain lifts at certain places, and the movements are pretty much always the same regardless of what year it is or who's performing it. But that's not true with you guys. Who choreographs the transition and the sort of the hip-hop end of it?
Well, we have a lot of different choreographers come in and give our different styles. We even sometimes have Latin choreographers come in.
Oh, yeah, good.
So we can fuse Latin dance. But in this specific piece, we had one of our own company members, Sharon Lawrence, choreograph the piece for us. She actually also grew up with us doing hip lay, so she really was able to get an amazing piece together because she's so comfortable inside of the style already.
Do you guys have day jobs?
Yes. Yeah, we do. Yeah. And actually, the way that it kind of works sometimes too is that Mr. Homer has a studio, and so some of us work for a school system, and some of us work through the studio that the company is founded through.
Right.
So we work for a Chicago Multicultural Dance Center, where we're teaching dance or doing summer camps with kids based around dance, stuff like that.
Do you? I mean, this is a lot of exposure going on national TV in America's Got Talent. Is there?
Yes.
Have you received any kind of offers? Some like an agent or a lawyer calling somebody up and going, "Hey, I can help your career," or anything like that?
Honestly, I'm still waiting for that call.
Yeah.
I will say a lot of people
please feel
have
free
been
if you're listening.
Yeah. I hope you speak that into existence for sure. But I know a lot of people have been wanting, like, individually, a lot of us have been getting, like, oh, hey, can you work on this? Or, hey, I want to shoot you doing this. Or
right.
That. The goal is exactly what you said, is for some agent to call us and be like, hey, I want to work with you, for sure.
Right. And you obviously have to sign a contract with whoever is in charge of America's Got Talent about disclosures and what you can and cannot say. I just know that's part of the business, and that's the way it works, especially on a big network show that's been on for years. But I think, you know, I think the average reality show, although I don't really put America's Got Talent in there, but I guess it is a reality show to a certain extent. I mean, I think most of us know that what we're seeing is choreographed, for lack of a better term, that we know that perhaps it's already over and it will be revealed somewhere down the line. I just don't know how people who participate in those kind of shows can keep their mouth shut, but I'm not going to ask you. I'm just going to say thank you so much for coming on. It has been an absolute delight talking to both of you. And all the best. Break a leg. Not literally, of course.
In dance, we say mared. So you don't say break a leg. We just say marriage. It means break a leg, but it's just French for break a leg.
Oh, well, then married.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
And go get them. Okay, guys? Yeah.